is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey Hoopheads, check out the Triple Threat sales event this September from our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. They're offering $3,000 off their All-Star Plus machine, $1,000 off their Dr. Dish Home machine, and $100 off their IC3. Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. Those are some great deals, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hello, this is Brad Stamps, head boys basketball coach at Fayetteville High School, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
3R Basketball, powered by Under Armour, is coming to Cleveland this fall. Get your 3-on-3 team together and register at ua3rbasketball.com.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And we are fast approaching the opening of NBA training camp. And there has been...
Thank God.
Relatively little news. So I think what we are going to do tonight is we are just going to jump right into Eastern Conference win totals, over-under, and just pick whether we think the team is going to win more or less than the Vegas Insider win totals that have been posted. So let's just jump right into it because, again, there's no real news to discuss. So let's just go right into the over-unders.
There's no news to discuss on the NBA front. We'll save the NFL front for the end of the episode. All right, so we're gonna start with the Atlanta Hawks, and I think as we're doing this, Mike, I think it probably makes the most sense. I'll just say like additions and whatnot, and then I'll say the over under, and then we can have a discussion on that. Does that sound good?
Sure, sounds perfect.
Okay. Okay, so the Atlanta Hawks via free agency they got signed Aaron Holiday, Frank Kaminsky. Via trade they got Harkless, Holiday, and of course the big one being DeJounte Murray. They drafted two guys, AJ Griffin, Tyrese Martin. They lost Sharif Cooper and Gorgui Dieng. Danilo Gallinari, who's now out for the season, right? He got injured, right? Gallinari.
I don't think he's out for the season because it was like a torn or partially torn MCL, so I think he's out until at least after January, but I don't think he's out for the year.
Okay, well that's better news than I thought, so it's all right. They also lost Herder, Knox, Jock Landale, another guy I never heard of, and DeLon Wright. Jock Landale started any games. I could trick you into what
that would have been a good team. One. That would have been a good one.
All right. Anyways. So the NBA win totals have the Atlanta Hawks at 46.5, Mike. 46.5 wins.
That's an under.
That's an under for me as well. I agree. I think there's been a lot. There's a huge turnover. They're going to take a lot of time to get used to them playing with one another. I think it's an under for sure.
This team, when I look at the Hawks, I just don't see. You look at what the Cavs did, and you look at where Toronto is, and then you look at the teams who were at the top of the East in the conference last year. I think, to me, Atlanta tops out as – I think the highest they can get is probably number 7, and I don't see the Hawks – I just don't see the Hawks winning – 47 games this year. I don't see that. So I'm going to say Hawks under.
All right. So that's one down. All right.
All right, I'm marking these down. We need to write these down because I'm gonna try to keep track of. I'll write them both. I'll write down both of us.
All right, under. And you gotta keep track of that paper, Mike.
I'm gonna keep track of them. I'm gonna keep track
of that paper better than I keep track of my checks from Head Start Basketball.
Yeah. I'm gonna try. Well, hey, and I'll try to fill the checks out correctly too. So it'll all even out. It's little insider jokes that no one's gonna get, but hey, it's all right. So we both had the Hawks under 46.5. All right, I got it. We're good. All right. Okay, move on.
Boston, they got previously mentioned Gallinari via free agency, but he's out and injured. They got Malcolm Brogdon for trade. They drafted J.D. Davison, 53rd overall, so he's probably not making the team. They lost Malik Fitz, Jawan Morgan, Aaron Nesmith, Nick Stauskas.
Sauce Castillo.
And Daniel Tice. The over-under is the highest. The highest over-under, according to this, which seems ridiculous to me, but this was updated yesterday at 11:44 a.m., so this is up to date. The Boston Celtics, 55.5. That's under, Mike. Under. 55.5. Under. The Eastern Conference is better than it was last season.
Okay, so here's my dilemma. Obviously, I'm not a big pro Celtics guy, but when I look at the Eastern Conference regular season and I think about which teams near the top of the conference are going to care about where they finish in the standings and how important the regular season is to them. Milwaukee, clearly at this point, Milwaukee's going to rest guys. They're not going to care whether they finish first or whether they finish fourth. It's not going to matter to them. So I don't think Milwaukee is going to be pushing to be the number one seed. Philly, I think they're going to be more concerned with keeping Harden and Embiid healthy than they are pushing to get to the top of the conference.
But they got to keep Harden in shape, so he's going to play a lot.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe. I'm not sure about anything that Philly's going to do. Whatever that number is when we get to that, I'll be banging the under on that one. Then we have Brooklyn, which who knows? You have Miami, who clearly veteran team, got the number one seed last year. But I don't think Miami is any threat to push to try to win 60 games. So I don't think Miami's going to do that. So to me, the only one of those top, what are considered to be the top upper echelon of the Eastern Conference that is going to push to try to win. I know the Cavs, but the Cavs are not going to push. As good as the Cavs might be, I don't think the Cavs are going to win. I don't think the Cavs are going to finish as the number one seed this year.
I'm banging the over. I've got a little preview of the Cavs.
You can hit the over on the Cavs, but that doesn't mean that they're going to finish at the top of the conference. I'm going to take Boston with the idea that you bring in Brogdon, and yeah, he's been hurt quite a bit in his career, but if he's able to stay healthy relatively and they keep Brown and Tatum healthy, both of those guys are still young. To me, they're the only team that is really going to make a push and say, hey, we want to be the number one seed. It's important to us. We're young. We haven't won a title yet. I think Boston is much more likely than those other teams to play their guys 75-plus games over the course of the season. So I'm gonna take the over, only because not because I'm a big believer in the Celtics and their title chances.
My son definitely convinced you to pick the Celtics over on this one.
Full disclosure here: Jason's son, the last 2 weeks to our Little Dribblers program, his son has worn a Boston Celtics T-shirt just to mock me as he shows up.
My wife's from New England, so that's why she has no interest in the Celtics. By the way, she only had him wear that shirt to irk me, and then in turn irked you as well. So
well, it's all good. But I'm going to take the Celtics despite my anti-Celtics propaganda here. I'm going to say Celtics are going to hit the over I'm going to say they're going to hit the over.
All right. I can't wait to hear this next one. The Brooklyn Nets. Via free agency, they added some guy named Chris Chioza. They added, oh man, they've got a Morris brother now? Oh man, this is exciting.
Now, like, you know, well, here, okay, so I think anybody who's listened to the pod can predict what's about to be said right here. If you have signed a Morris brother, you have just signed yourself a death sentence in terms of your ability to try to win a title. Although, wasn't Markieff on the Lakers when they won the bubble?
He was. Maybe he's the difference maker.
So maybe Markieff's the lucky one. So yeah. Whatever. You don't want a Morris brother on your team. All right. Brooklyn.
Edmund Sumner, they added him. TJ Warren, Yuta Watanabe. I don't know if he's related to Ken. And then via trade, they got Royce O'Neal.
Good pickup for them.
Good pickup. That's probably, obviously the six people they picked up, probably the best player they picked up. They lost Andre Drummond, Goran Dragic, Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown, probably the biggest loss for them, right? Agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I would say so.
All right. So that's that. The Brooklyn Nets are at 45.5. I'm going to say the under primarily because we don't know how many games. I keep saying the under, though. This is a lot. You know what? Put me on the over, Mike. I'm going to say the over on this. I just feel like I think this is going to be really close. I think they're going to be really close to this win total. And someone's got to be the over if I keep picking the under. So I'm going to go with the over for the Brooklyn Nets, primarily because I think Kyrie's going to play in more games theoretically this year. And Durant's going to be extra motivated. So let's go with the over, Mike.
Okay. I'm going under.
Okay. Completely legit. I was going to go under, but I've been under the first two. So I switched it up.
I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying it from a three personalities that are on this team that I'm not sure what this whole thing looks like from a team chemistry standpoint with Durant, Kyrie and Simmons. And then you have two guys, Simmons, who hasn't played in 18 months, and Kyrie, who has yet to play 100 games in three seasons for the Brooklyn Nets. The odds of him banging out 70 plus games this year, I'd say, are pretty slim. And I think Durant continues to slow down. I think Boston exposed him a little bit in the playoffs in that series, and not to say that he's not going to be a top 10 player this year, but I think he's going to continue to decline slightly. And when you combine that with all the other factors that go into this team, I'm under on the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay. Fair. All that is fair. What you said, I'm just going over because I picked two unders to start. I'm being honest.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, here we go. The Charlotte Hornets added no one via free agency, no one via trade, and they lost Montrezl Harrell. The Charlotte Hornets are over under is 36.5. I'm probably gonna go with a slight over, but it's gonna be close. I'm gonna go slightly over. Just because I think it's year two under their coach, right? Their new coach, new-ish coach, because Borrego got fired.
Right, brand new coach, Steve Clifford.
Technically year four under Steve Clifford. second right. go-round.
Second go-round, but one of this iteration.
But I like Steve Clifford, and I think he's going to do some good things with them, so I'm going to go with the over, Mike.
All right, so I like Steve Clifford, and I guess he would maybe be my one caveat that the teams that he has coached in the past have been competent defensively. So to me, though, this team losing Miles Bridges and not having him back, obviously with his situation that he's put himself into.
Have they even done anything? Has the NBA done anything with that or not?
I don't think so. I don't even know where that case is in terms of the legal process. I haven't really heard much about it recently, but it's certainly, from everything that I've seen, it does not appear that he's going to be appearing in an NBA uniform anytime soon. So I got to believe that Miles Bridges is at worst. I mean, he's not going to be a member of the Charlotte Hornets anymore. Let's put it that way. Maybe he ends up in another year or two at the legal process plays itself out. Maybe he ends up signing with another team at some point. But I feel like his days of being a Charlotte Hornet are completely over. And that's a big loss. He was a guy who really drove a lot of what they did last year, obviously along with LaMelo. But the improvement of Miles Bridges over the course of last season was something that was really important to their development. I think what you're betting on here is LaMelo. And it's funny because in his rookie year, it felt like everybody was all over LaMelo. Like, this guy's the next big thing. And people were surprised by what a good teammate he was and just his passing. And people thought he had sort of a transcendent style of play.
Yeah.
And then last year, it felt like kind of the bloom came off the rose and people started picking at some of his warts and the fact that he really wasn't a good defensive player. And was he a guy that was ever going to be capable of being the number one player on a team? So I think what you're looking at is you're saying, which LaMelo Ball are you getting? Are you getting a guy who's on an upward trajectory towards being one of the best players in the league? Or you're getting a guy who is a good player, but not a guy who's a franchise number one? And based on the absence of Bridges and my feeling about where LaMelo is, I'm going under on the Charlotte Hornets. Despite Steve Clifford being a good coach, I'm going under because I think LaMelo, I just don't believe in him as a number one player.
So you're saying, I mean, no, you don't have any faith in anyone else on the Hornets team to pick up any slack for Bridges, right?
I just think that you lose a guy that did the things that Bridges did, and especially he was doing it with a contract that was under market value, and he was a guy who was continuing to get better, and he was clearly a guy who, up until the domestic violence thing came up, was clearly a big, big part of the Hornets' plans, and now suddenly you subtract that guy from your team. That's tough, and I still think that a bet on this team, either in the short term or the long term, is a bet on LaMelo Ball becoming a top 10 player in the league. And I don't see it. I mean, I think defensively, he's not where you'd want him to be. I still think shooting wise, he needs to get better. And he seems like a player still that he's more style than substance in my mind. At least when I watch him, that's what I see. And I just think this team's going to go under.
Okay, fair enough. All right, next Eastern Conference team, the Chicago Bulls. They added Andre Drummond and Goran Dragic. They lost Troy Brown Jr. And they drafted some guy named Dalen Terry. I guess I have to say what Chicago's win total over-under is. It's 43.5. Oof. I mean, they didn't really lose anyone. Maybe they overachieved last year. Yeah. Have they announced Lonzo Ball's availability? Like, is he out for still more time?
He's out for more time. I mean, I don't know exactly how long, but they definitely said he's going to miss the start of the season.
Well, that's not good for them.
No, it's not good at all. That's not good. That's not good. And look, this team, when they were healthy last year, when you had Lonzo and Caruso in the backcourt and DeRozan doing what he did last year, and then LaVine over the course of the season got his knee kind of tweaked and wasn't quite up to his explosive self. I think this team, when it's fully formed, is pretty good, but I also think the Eastern Conference is pretty good.
Yeah, so 43.5. It's a half, so I can't say it's a push. I'm gonna go slightly under, Mike. Slightly under.
All right, Jason, under for the Chicago Bulls. And
Are you writing the numbers down in case they change?
Yeah, I got the number. I got the win total.
Okay.
I got the win total, and I've got which one each of us, what each of us are picking. So, the Chicago Bulls, I am also going to go under 43.5. So I've been under on 4 out of 5 so far.
Well, that's, you're doing well.
I don't know if I'm doing well, but we'll see. We'll see where things progress from here. I just think the Bulls, you're probably not going to get another season like you did last year out of DeRozan. Seems like that was probably about as close to a career year as a guy who's 32, 33 years old is going to have. Seems like there might be at least a little bit of regression. And you combine that with missing Lonzo and sort of how the Bulls finished the year. And I just, the Eastern Conference, there's so many teams right now, I think, that are better than them that I just don't, I don't see Chicago. I could see them finishing 41 and 41, maybe 42 and 40, but I don't see them getting to 44 wins. I just don't see it.
Here we go. Next one. The Cavaliers. Cavs. They added Sideshow Bob, Raul Neto,
Neto. Ricky
I know. Ricky Rubio. Ricky Rubio, which he won't be available until February, probably. January, February. They got this guy named Donovan Mitchell. They also drafted Agbaji, but he's gone because he got traded in the Mitchell trade. Jop. Isaiah Mobley, Luke Travers, a.k.a. Sunshine. I'm going to call him Sunshine. They lost Lauri Markkanen and they lost Colin Sexton. Cavs over under. Total, Mike, 46.5. Hitting that over, baby. I'm hitting it. I'm predicting, well, as of this moment, without seeing anything on the floor, I'm saying 50 wins, Mike. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the 50-win season for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Because I think, unlike what you said, there's going to be teams that are going to rest players. I don't think they're going to we're going to rest a lot of our guys because our guys are all super young.
No, the Cavs are a team that are going to play.
They're going to play. Because they're going to want to get those experience. They're going to play everything. I mean, maybe a game here and a game there, they'll sit, but
They're going to want to win games. The Cavs are going to want to win games. They're not a veteran team where they're like, okay, it doesn't matter where we finish in the playoff standings. We can go on the road and win games. The Cavs are not going to have that attitude. The Cavs are definitely going to be a team that's going to go after and chase regular season wins as they build chemistry and try to have the continued development of their young players. So I think they're a team that is going to be motivated to win regular season games, whereas, as I said off the top, I think there's a lot of those teams in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference that don't necessarily care where they finish. I think most of those teams would be happy to finish anywhere in the top four, so they have a home court advantage in the first round. Yep. And then after that, I'm not sure they're going to be willing to not rest players and really drive hard to try to win 55 or 60 games. Whereas I think the Cavs, I think you're 100% right that 50 wins is definitely a realistic target for this team. And I think the over-under at 46.5 is a little bit low. So I'm going to go over on the Cavs. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot more Cavs as things go on. But these four guys that they have are as good a nucleus as any team has, especially when you start talking about young players and the potential of Mobley and Garland and what they can be. And then bringing in a proven all-star like Donovan Mitchell, I think 50 games is realistic, so I'm going to go over as well.
All right, we're on a roll, Mike. Okay, that's the Western Conference team. That's the Western Conference team. All right, the Detroit Pistons. They added Kevin Knox, Alec Burks, Nerlens Noel, Kemba Walker. Let me tell you, none of those names scream excitement for me. they lost Luke Garza, Jeremy Grant. Well, of those five player or six players I said, Jeremy Grant's clearly the best player, right?
Best player of what?
Of the who they added / who they lost, right?
Yeah, I mean the most established NBA player. But I think when you look at this team, okay, right? So you're counting on the continued development of Cade Cunningham, who proved over the course of last season that he's legit. He's a guy who is going to be a really, really good player, if not a star player in this league for a long time. And I think he's going to be a guy that you can probably build your franchise around. Now, is he good enough? Is he one of those guys that could develop into a top five player in the league? Remains to be seen, but he certainly has a lot of the characteristics that you would want in that type of player. So his continued development, obviously, is going to be very, very important. And then when you look at Burks and Noel, like neither one of those guys, as you said, it's not like you read those names, you're like, oh man, that's great. Those guys are super exciting. But those are two veteran guys who have played lots of different places, who have been contributors to winning teams, and they're guys who know how to play. And adding them to a young team like the Pistons, to me, that adds value. Now, it doesn't add value to vault them up into playoff contention, but I think it vaults them into the conversation where you can start talking about Detroit as a team that can contend to be part of the play-in tournament this year. And I think they are past now the point where Detroit is no longer going to be tanking. They're not trying to get back to the top of the draft. They added two guys in the draft in Duren and Ivy that are going to play. And Jaden Ivey's going to play and be a backcourt mate for Cade Cunningham. And then Duren is going to be inside playing down in the post and rim running and setting screens and working with those two guys. So I look at this team as a team that I don't want to say can take a huge leap in terms of maybe their overall record or maybe even their positioning in the Eastern Conference. But I think this team could be a whole lot better this season. And they're going to be a team that I think is going to be one that lots of other teams that are better than them are not going to enjoy playing the Detroit Pistons. I'm going to take the over on the Pistons.
Okay. And I don't even know. Did I say the over under 28 and a half?
I don't think you did, but I think that
I'm going to take the over.
That seems low to me.
It seems low. I'm going to take 28 and a half as well. I'm going to take the over on that.
Okay.
I agree.
So we're both over on the Pistons. All right.
Next up, the Indiana Pacers. They gained Daniel Tice and Aaron Nesmith. They drafted a bunch of guys. Benedict Mathurin's probably the
Mathurin from Arizona. Yeah. Good player. He's gonna play a lot. He's gonna get a lot of minutes.
This team's gonna be bad.
This team's gonna be real bad. I agree. They're gonna be bad. And to me,
Brogdon.
Now I know historically Indiana hasn't been a tanking team, but there's also the possibility that at some point during the season that Miles Turner and Buddy Hield are on the move for whatever. But those are certainly two pieces that contending teams are going to be interested in. And if at any point during the season those two guys get traded or one of them gets traded, this team potentially could be way, way down at the bottom. I'm going to take the under on Indiana.
24 and a half. And I agree, it's the under. I don't know if they get to 20 wins, Mike. I don't know if they get to 20 wins, quite frankly.
Yeah, they're bad.
All right, the next team we have to talk about, the Miami Heat. They gained no one. They drafted Nikola Jovic. Did you think they meant to draft him, or were they trying to draft Jokic?
trying to redo the Jokic draft? No, I think they knew what they were doing. Jovic is actually supposed to be good. Wouldn't surprise me if in Miami's system of them developing guys, it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up being a good player.
Yep.
I think losing PJ Tucker hurts them. Definitely hurts them.
As much as we made fun of him, I agree with you.
He was an important part of their success last year, and he was an important part of Milwaukee's success the year they won the title. I mean, he wasn't a huge contributor offensively, which we oftentimes made fun of him averaging like 1.5 points per game, but defensively, he was important to what Milwaukee did, and last year he was important to what the Heat did.
Yep, I agree. I think they're not as good as they were last year. Like without Markieff Morris doesn't matter, but so the over under is 48.5, Mike. Does that mean you're going under?
No. I think I'm gonna take the over. And the reason why I'm gonna take the over is I think when you look at this team, it feels like a team that Bam is going to continue to improve and grow, get better. Jimmy Butler, he may rest sometimes, but when he's out on the floor, you can guarantee that he's going to compete and play hard. They missed a lot of Kyle Lowry minutes last year. And so if you bank on, look, Lowry's never been in the greatest shape, and he's another year older, so maybe it's silly to bank on him having a healthier year and playing more games. But I think if you look at the top of the Eastern Conference, at least to me, I feel like that 48.5 for Miami is lower than what it should be, because I think this team, just because of what they bring to the table in terms of coaching with Spoelstra and just how hard they play, I think Miami wins a lot of regular season games that maybe they shouldn't. So I'm going to take the over on Miami.
Okay. I'm taking the under. I just don't have faith. I don't have faith. I've said the Cavs are going to go over, so I'm going to put them under. All right. Milwaukee Bucks, they added Joe Ingles. They lost Rajon Tucker, so they definitely theoretically got better. I mean, Joe Ingles coming off an ACL injury, so I mean, I don't know what he's going to look like when he's out there. They're over under 52.5. I'm going to... I know we talked about them resting people, but I can't not take the over here. I think I have to take the over, so I'm going to take the over, Mike.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over on the Bucks too. I think they probably finish behind the Celtics, just because, again, I think the regular season is going to mean more to Boston than it's going to mean to Milwaukee. The 2 years when Milwaukee kind of ran away with the regular season win total and won over 60 games, both of those times they kind of flamed out in the playoffs. So I think they've, I don't know, learned their lesson, but they just understand that the regular season is what it is and they need to be ready for playoff time. Especially, you look at, I'm sure everyone in that building in Milwaukee feels like if Chris Middleton doesn't go down with an injury, that Milwaukee beats Boston and probably has as good a shot to win the NBA title as any of the other teams that were left. So they're going to want to come into the playoffs healthy, which means they're probably going to not try to grind it out and get to the very top of the Eastern Conference. But I still think that number is pretty low. Giannis, most of the projections that you see right now are predicting Giannis to have another MVP type season. A lot of people are picking him to win the MVP. And if he's going to win the MVP, then Milwaukee can't be winning 47 games. That's not going to happen. So I think Milwaukee exceeds this win total, although I still think they probably end up behind Boston. I don't see them. I don't see Milwaukee getting up into the 57, 58. I see them more in the 53, 54, 55, somewhere in there when it comes to regular season wins.
Okay. Yeah. I'm still going over. I just think I feel better about them. I mean, they do have arguably right now the best player in the NBA. And I just feel like there's a good chance.
52.5 seems low for a team that has the best player in the league.
I agree. And you agree that he's the best player in the league, right?
Yes. I think at this point, I think there's not really much of a debate at this point when you look at what he does on both ends of the floor. I just think what he did in that Boston series, and just like any other superstar, you watch that and there were certainly things that you wish he could do better or things that you think maybe he could do a little bit better. But then you look at, and I forget what the exact total was, but he had whatever, over 200 points and over, I forget what the rebound total was, but he was putting up historic numbers in that 7-game loss to Boston. And basically he was doing it without his second best player. And he still almost took them to that series victory. So yeah, I think he's clearly the best player, and I'd be surprised if the Bucks don't win at least 53. I would be very surprised. So again, we'll bang the over on that one.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have the New York Knicks. They added Jalen Brunson and Isaiah Hartenstein. They lost Burks, Taj Gibson, Nerlens Noel, Kemba Walker. They signed RJ Barrett to an extension, and they lost out on the Donovan Mitchell trade. The New York Knicks over under is 39.5, Mike. I'm saying under. I have zero faith in this team after what happened last year. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Under.
All right. This is a surprisingly tough one for me because initially, as you look at it, your of course reaction to the New York Knicks is automatically we're going under. I think
you're gonna zig when I zagged, huh?
Here's the thing: if you believe in the over, and I'm not saying that I do or I don't at this point yet, but if you believe in the over, what you're believing in is that RJ Barrett is going to continue to develop into an all-star, fringe all-star type player, and that you're also going to bring in competent point guard play in Jalen Brunson to kind of organize things and get things going. And obviously,
here's my argument, Mike. He doesn't have Luka here. Okay.
Okay, but when he played without Luka, he was very, very good. That's one of the reasons why the Knicks wanted him is because when he played,
well, and
when
his he played buddy without, works on the Knicks,
right? When he played without Luka, he was very, very effective, and I think that's what made him attractive to other teams. Was this guy proved he can play with a star, and then he proved that he can run the show when the star is not there. So I think Brunson's going to be a good addition to this team. I'm not a huge RJ Barrett guy. I think he's okay. I don't think he's great. I personally don't think he's ever going to make an NBA All-Star team. I think he's going to be a player sort of on that fringe just below that. Maybe he sneaks onto a team and an All-Star team on a down year, but I don't think he's going to be a perennial All-Star player. So when I look at this team, I'm not sure what I'm seeing. I know the Knicks highly valued Quentin Grimes and Emmanuel Quickley, that they didn't want to put Grimes in the trade to get Donovan Mitchell is everything that was being reported. So if those two guys and Obi Toppin continue to develop, that maybe there's a case for the Knicks being a little bit better than we think. That number's high to me. 39.5 for the Knicks seems like a pretty high number. I don't know if you're basing that on 2 years ago when they made the playoffs and you got all world Julius Randle. I don't think that guy's coming back. So I'm going to take – somebody's got to win some games here in the East, but I'm going to go under. I say it's not going to be the New York Knicks. Okay.
Well, you picked Detroit. They're going to win some games, Mike.
Detroit's going to win. I think Detroit has a chance to be better than the Knicks.
Yeah. Well, speaking of a team that's not going to be good this year.
Okay.
The Orlando Magic. They didn't gain anyone in free agency. They didn't trade for anyone. They got Paolo Banchero with the first pick. Maybe some of their players are going to help be healthy. Maybe Markelle Fultz can play 60 games this year.
Maybe Jonathan Isaac is
going to be functional at some point. Doesn't blow out his ACL again. The Orlando Magic's over-under is 25.5. I'm gonna say, purely because this number is low, and I've got to pick a team to go over. No, yeah, I can't do it. I'm gonna go under with the Magic too, Mike. I feel like I know I keep saying under a lot, but I'm gonna go under.
I'm going over for the Magic.
Oh,
I'm a Banchero. I'm a believer. After watching him in Summer League, I'm a believer that this guy can be the focal point of a bad NBA offense right now as a rookie, but an offense that can be at least semi-functional and dangerous. 25 games seems pretty low. This team has some interesting players on it.
You're only going over because of Markel. Come on.
No, I think when you look at what this team has, Suggs, what is he? Is Suggs going to end up being a good player, or is he going to end up being sort of a journeyman type player, like, which is kind of what he showed last year? If he ends up being what people thought he was going to be, I mean, everybody was ecstatic when Scottie Barnes went to Toronto at number 4 and Suggs fell to Orlando at number 5. I mean, universally, people were like, man, that's a steal for the Magic. This guy's going to change the culture. He's one of those types of guys. And who knows? Maybe that was just false praise. Maybe it was a mistake. But if this guy's kind of what people thought he would be and he starts to head in that direction, that certainly helps. You look at my guy Fultz. And look, he's not great, but he's all right. Then you put Franz Wagner next to Banchero. I think Wagner's a guy who, again, I don't know if he's ever an all-star player, but he's certainly a guy that can do a lot of things. You can plug him into a lot of different lineups. You got Wendell Carter Jr. You got Cole Anthony. Yeah, this team is better than – you got my guy Bol Bol. Who knows? Maybe Bol Bol will finally get out on the floor.
No, give me a break, Mike. He's not getting on the floor.
Come on. All right, anyway, I think Orlando's going to win more than 25 games. I think this could be the surprisingly good – bad team. I think Orlando and Detroit are going to be better than what people think. These two teams have been tanking for years now, and they finally put some pieces in place. I think both these teams are going to be trying to win games this year, and so I think they both go over. So give me the over on Orlando.
All right. Philadelphia 76ers, they gained Montrezl Harrell, Daniel House, because he can't quit James Harden, Trevor Lynn-Queen, PJ Tucker. They lost Danny Green, DeAndre Jordan. The Philadelphia 76ers over-under is 49.5. I think we already kind of alluded to this, but I think we're going to take the under. I think it's going to be a slight under. I think they're going to be around 45, 46 wins, Mike.
All right. If you just look at this team and you look at the guys they added, PJ Tucker, if you get the good version of PJ Tucker and he isn't continuing to decline because of age. If you get the same PJ Tucker production that they got in Miami last year, he helps them. He makes them better. Daniel House is a guy who has played with Harden before when he was in Houston, and he's a guy who can do some stuff. Harrell has limitations, but he's a functional player like we talked about when he signed with the Sixers a couple weeks ago. And you got to believe that Embiid is just going to continue to get better. Unfortunately, the Philadelphia 76ers employ James Harden, so I'm going under with this particular pick because I just don't think that Harden's not the Houston James Harden is not coming back. That guy is gone, and I just don't think James Harden in your clubhouse, in your locker room, is a guy that's going to make you better. I just don't buy it. And look, Embiid's an MVP. And he's been healthy for years. Knock on wood, he's going to remain healthy. But I can't buy into a team with James Harden. Sorry. So I'm going under.
Okay. All right. Next up, the Toronto Raptors. They added Juancho Hernan Gomez, Josh Jackson, Otto Porter Jr., DJ Wilson. They lost Armani Brooks, Svi Mihaljevic, and Yuta Watanabe. I don't think any of those losses were. I think this team's better, slightly. I mean, Otto Porter is not really going to like win you anything, but he's definitely better. Than Armani Brooks, Svi. I can't even pronounce your last name, and Yuta Watanabe. Do you know how to say Svi's last name? Mikhailuk?
Sounds right. Yeah, it sounds good to me.
You're giving me credit. All right, I'll take it.
I'll give it to you, man. I'll give it to you.
All right, sweet. So the Toronto Raptors win over under is 44.5, and I'm going to go with the over on this one, Mike.
I agree. I think Toronto, there's a couple things that factor into this for me. One, Nick Nurse, good coach. Two, you got some good veteran guys that have won championships in Fred VanVleet and Siakam. So you have those two guys on your roster. And then Scotty Barnes, rookie of the year. He's a guy who is only going to get better. And he was really good last year. And I think that the things that he brings to the table, the versatility that they have, if they can keep Ananobi healthy, I think this team has the potential, sort of like the Cavs, where they could be, I think, significantly over this win total if things go well. If Barnes really develops and they can keep their veteran guys healthy, to me, I think this number is pretty low for Toronto. I like them solidly.
Especially for a team of their pedigree.
I just like them solidly over. I mean, I'm not a huge, like, I don't think Toronto's great. I know that I haven't loved this team in the past, and I'm not sure I love them as a playoff team in terms of winning playoff rounds, not making the playoffs. I think they'll clearly make the playoffs this year. But I don't think that I think this win total is too low, so I'm going over for Toronto.
All right, look at that. We agree. There's a team that gets the over. All right, but Mike, we've reached the last team in the Eastern Conference.
All right, here we go.
The Wizards of Washington, or the, as Joe House affectionately calls them, the Almost Bullets. They added Taj Gibson and DeLon Wright. They added Will Barton and Monte Morris. They lost Thomas Bryan, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Raul Neto, and Ish Smith. They drafted Johnny Davis 10th and Yannick Nzoza. This team, I don't know what this team is, Mike. I don't have any faith in this team. Their over-under is 35 and a half. As much as I don't have any faith in this team, something just tells me that they're going to go over that win total this year. It might be by half of a game. It might be 36 wins. But I think someone, as you said before, someone has to win the Eastern Conference. And I think Bradley Beal is a better player than LaMelo Ball. And I just think that they're going to do better than the Hornets. They're probably going to be, they have a chance to be better than the Knicks. I'm going with the over, Mike. Bring back the rivalry.
I agree. I think Washington goes over. And part of my thinking here is that I really look at the Eastern Conference, and you look as you go down this list of all these teams, there really is only one team that theoretically could be tanking to get the number one pick, and that's Indiana. And Indiana historically has come out and said, I know their ownership has said, we don't want to tank. We don't want to play for the bottom. We want to continue to try to put a winning product out on the floor. But I think that's the only team, when you look at it, that really has huge incentives to want to lose games. Now, maybe at some point, if something goes south for some of these other teams, maybe after at the two-thirds point of the season, we have some teams that enter into the tankathon. But I think out west, you have four teams that are going to be tanking pretty hard. And so I would anticipate that the number one pick is going to come from that pool of four Western Conference teams and the Pacers. I don't think anybody else from the East gets in. So to me, what you're looking at is the top of the East is going to be, I don't think there's going to be two or three teams that are going to have above 55 wins. I don't see that. I think more there's going to be five or six teams sort of bunched from, you know, 55 wins to 48 wins. And then I think you're going to have a group in the middle there where I think the Detroit and Orlando are going to be better than what people think. They're going to win a few more games than people think. And so there's going to be kind of this middle class of teams that are all going to be sort of around the same record. And I think that it's very possible that the four worst records in the league are all Western Conference teams. I think that's entirely possible because those are the four teams that are the four teams out west are really the ones that are going to be tanking and looking not to win games. And again, like I said, we can throw Indiana in there. But I think the Eastern Conference teams are going to be trying to win, which is going to push everybody sort of towards the middle. I don't think you're going to have as many outliers in the Eastern Conference. So that's why I kind of picked the middle of the conference to win more games and maybe the top to lose a few more, if that makes sense.
It makes sense. I agree. And we'll talk about the Western Conference next week. Is that the plan, Mike? We'll do
over-unders. That's the plan. Yeah, we'll do the Western Conference over-unders next week.
So, but the Western Conference definitely is very, in my opinion, top-heavy. And then after that, it's not as evenly distributed as you said. There's four teams that are going to be competing for the tankathon, so to speak. All right, Mike. Anything else NBA-wise that we need to talk about that you want to talk about?
No, let's just move on.
All right. I don't really want to spend any time talking on this, but as your text message said, that's the most Brownsiest of Browns ways to lose or something along those lines. The pitiful. Joe Woods should be fired. I know everyone's Pat sharing the blame. Nick Chubb's sharing the blame. Stefanski's saying, oh, he should have told Chubb to go down. I haven't heard anyone talk about Kareem Hunt shouldn't have run out of bounds three straight times. How about
that?
Yeah,
that was the that was the most egregious. As it was happening, I mean, I didn't think it would matter, but as he kept running out of bounds, I was like, what is he doing? Why are you trying to fight for the extra 2 yards when you're already up seven and the other team's out of timeouts? Just fall down. The game's over. It didn't make any sense. I don't even have a problem. I don't care that Chubb scored. You make the extra point.
You should be up. You should have been able to hold him to not even listen.
Look, there was a lot of fluky things, right, that had to go on in order for them to lose. I mean, there's a ton of Chubb's got to score when he could have set, you know, when he could have went down. Hunt could have gone out of bounds a couple times to keep the clock running. Cade York has to misses the extra point. Then you have the onside kick, which, look, it's not like they weren't trying to recover the onside kick. Sometimes onside cover kicks get recovered. But to me, I think the most egregious thing is the last drive for the touchdown, to me, is the most disappointing part of that loss for the Browns, because theoretically, the Browns should have a pretty good defense. And if you can't stop Joe Flacco from going 55 yards in under a minute with no timeouts when he has to get in the end zone, that's a problem. And that's what's worrisome with this team moving forward. I think some of the other things you can excuse it in being like, hey, it's fluky. You're not going to miss many extra points. There's lots of different schools of thought on whether you should score that touchdown or kneel down. The onside kick is what it is, but you got to be able to stop a team in the last minute with no timeouts with a quarterback who hasn't been good in 10 years, frankly. And you just, and a football team in the New York Jets that hasn't been good in forever. A good defense steps up and stops that team in that situation. I don't even care about giving up the 66-yard play. Yeah, that's a bad play, but something, whatever. There's some kind of blown coverage, missed assignment, guys not understanding what they were supposed to do. But that last drive, to me, is the inexcusable part, because that was, quote, real football. That was real football being played, and they just let them go right down the field and score. That was inexcusable.
Yep. Oh, well, listen, we get to luckily, we don't have to fester over it too long. The Browns play on
Here's my idea. You want to hear my idea?
Sure. Give me your idea.
Let's have the Haslams sell the Browns to LeBron, and let's move them to Akron. Just start the franchise over.
The Akron Browns, or did they get a new name?
The LeBrowns.
Oh, God.
The Akron LeBrowns. That's the, that's the new franchise. Let's just start it over. Give up the colors. They could be Vincent St. Mary, green and gold. Let's do it, man. The LeBrowns. I'm on board. LeBrowns.
Sounds like an interesting concept, Mike. I do like it.
As well you should.
Oh, wait. Well, Thursday night, we get to watch them play some sport. I don't know if it's going to be football or what it's going to be like, because it should theoretically be a pretty ugly-looking game with Mitchell Trubisky, although maybe Mitchell Trubisky is going to have a second rebirth in the Our first rebirth, probably.
let's put it this way. It's just sad that they could have been sitting at 2-0 looking at Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers, and again, theoretically, a really good shot at going to 3-0.
Do you know
when
I knew we were doomed, Mike? When they posted the last time, they showed the video the last time the Browns were 2-0 with like 2 minutes left, and it was Bill Belichick in 1993. They said Jurassic Park was the number one. I said to my dad, I was like, oh, they're already giving us this victory. This is bad news.
That should be illegal to even put that on the screen when you're covering the Cleveland Browns.
Go Guards, go, baby.
It's just, I mean.
Go Guards, go, baby, Mike.
Yeah.
They scored a run on the Chicago White Sox in the top of the 10th right now. They were losing 3-1. They tied the game in the 8th or 7th or 8th, and now they're in the 10th inning, and they just took the lead, and it's excitement. It's a big game. Mike. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Because if they win this game, they have clinched the season series against the Chicago White Sox, which gives them the tiebreaker and will theoretically give
They're up like 4 games, right? Or 5 games.
Yeah, they're up 4 games, but if they win this game, they'll be up 5 games, and then the tiebreaker essentially makes them up 6 games, which is huge, because then they'll have the tiebreaker against both the Chicago White Sox and the Minnesota Twins. So, I mean, I know you don't follow baseball, but that's huge, because if we don't win the division, we don't win the make the playoffs because we're not getting the wild card. So
they'd have to really collapse here down the stretch in order to not make it. There's less than 20 games in the season. So
well, not only that, but we play the last six games against Kansas City, who's terrible, and they've given up on the season.
Well, so fingers crossed. So maybe we'll get to watch some playoff baseball, which would be at least interesting. And, you know, maybe someday we'll get to watch the LeBrowns.
And they scored another run now, too, Mike. So now it's 5-3. It's good news, Mike. Good news. I know.
All right. Well, let's leave it there because as much as I care, I don't really care. So I'll be interested to watch some Indians baseball in the playoffs.
Guardians, Mike. Guardians.
What? Who? Who? Guardians? Guardians?
Yeah.
Is that a USFL team?
It was, I think.
Or was that an old ABA? Was that an old ABA franchise that I wasn't aware of? Anyway, all right, let's leave it there. Yeah. So Eastern Conference over-unders. We will be back next week with Western Conference over-unders. At some point, we're going to go through the ESPN Top 100 players when they finish that list and do a little interesting exercise with that. So please stick with us. We got previews coming up on the NBA here over the next couple of weeks as we head towards training camp. There'll be hopefully more interesting things on the floor for us to be able to talk about. So we're excited about that. In the meantime, please check out all of our regular interview episodes on the Hoopheads Pod. Just had Luke Stuckey on Monday, so make sure you check that out. A high school coach in Arizona who also has coached in the NBA and in college. So a very interesting story. And then coming up on Friday, we will have Jerry Buckley, who is a high school coach in the state of Florida. So please check those two episodes out. And we appreciate you listening to this NBA episode of the Hoopheads Pod. And we will catch you on the next one. Thanks.
3R Basketball, powered by Under Armour, is coming to Cleveland this fall. Get your 3-on-3 team together and register at ua3rbasketball.com.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.